Thank you for purchasing the Rock Concert Instruction Manual. Now you can join the thousands of other satisfied rock stars who have used these helpful guidelines to create the perfect rock concert experience. Before we begin, here are a few warm-up exercises. Start by loosening your pelvis. The pelvis has a rich tradition of movement throughout rock history. You will need to find the pelvis movement that is right for you. Here's a rhythm for you to move your pelvis to. Now expand your movement exploration to include the rest of your body. As you move to the beat, you should begin to develop a repertoire of choreographed dance moves that you can use during your performance. Using choreographed dance moves is one of the best ways to deflect attention away from shortcomings in other areas, such as singing or instrument playing. Do not worry about how becoming fatigued from dancing might hinder your ability to sing or play your instrument accurately. Thanks to recent advances in backing tracks and lip-syncing technology, today's rock stars can focus their attention exclusively on choreography without being distracted by details such as hitting the right notes or expressing emotion.
That is one of the segments of the Blue Man Group How to Be a Megastar Tour 2.0, which is coming to St. Louis to play the Scott Trade Center on October 21st. And here is one of the guys who, I guess, originally said, hey, you know what, let's paint ourselves blue. One of the creators of Blue Man Group, Chris Wink. Welcome to KMOX. How are you?
Thanks. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Are you the first one who said, let's be blue?
You know, I'm not sure who the first one was. I know I was with my buddies, partners still today, Matt and Phil. And I probably, it was the kind of thing we did. It was, what should we do? Let's do something crazy. Let's get bald and blue.
And the bald was
around.
And the bald, of course, had to be part of it as well. And when you say bald, you mean completely hairless up there.
Yeah, you know, it involves some prosthetics up there to make it all nice and shiny and smooth.
But you are actually painted?
Yeah, it's a grease kind of paint that goes on top, you know.
I got a chance to see the show in Chicago a couple of years ago, and it was endlessly entertaining. You guys understand how to do entertainment on a different level than a lot of other people, and congratulations on that. Now you're taking it to this 2.0 level with the Megastar Tour. Explain what that is.
Well, it's a sort of a satirical look at the rock concert and some of the traditions, and poke fun, as you heard just now, you know, at some of the things that go on in pop music and rock music and some of the concerts. But at the end of the day, it's kind of a love letter to the big mega rock show that we were inspired by when we were kids. You know, I think one of the first concerts I went to, was in Madison Square Garden and saw a couple of great bands, and Pink Floyd and AC/DC and Kiss and even the Rolling Stones, and that kind of mega event where you were just sort of, you know, part of this big throng of people was something that really inspired us. So we thought we would try to really work in that medium, but in a comedic way, you know, as well as a one that kind of works as a rock concert.
Yeah, it really rocks. I've seen the DVD and the special that was on Channel 9 here in St. Louis last month, Inside the Tube, which was produced by your promoters here in St. Louis. It did a terrific job of showing what you guys do. And it really is a full-on concert in addition to the Blue Man weirdness, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, for a second there, you can almost forget that you're in a weird situation being led by these bald blue men, you know, because it is kind of absurd that they're these rock stars. And so every so often, you know, the audience realizes how silly it is. But we all just keep going. And weirdly, it turns into this real, actual rock happening that, you know, makes everyone feel kind of giddy and happy.
I was talking to a friend of mine who has seen you guys both in Chicago and in your show in Vegas. And he is one of these guys who has to find a theme to everything. And he tells me that he thinks the theme of the Blue Man Group is being an outsider, both as blue men and apart from each other.
Yeah, you know, I think that's pretty insightful thing, because on the one hand, we just try to have a fun show, and we kind of think of ourselves as vaudevillians, and we're not really worried about having a deep message. But I think there is a message to something when you have a character like that, and that character is sort of an embodiment of the part of all of us that feels like an outsider at some point in our life, even if we fit in perfectly. And I think that's kind of how we felt when we were kind of alone in the crowd of Manhattan here in New York City. And I think that that's also what's interesting in comedic play. You have three guys that are identical, but there's still an outsider between the three of them. And that's where some of the fun stuff happens. It's like, you know, two guys have one thing, the one guy's left out, and then it keeps flipping around. So there's this comedic triangulation. It's probably the reason why a lot of comedy troupes have threes, you know, like the Three Stooges. And then the Marx Brothers, let's face it, Zeppo wasn't really a factor.
Zeppo could never have been a blue man. He just wouldn't fit.
No. It was really the three of them, you know. And I think that's an interesting thing.
How many blue men are there? I mean, I know you only have three per show, but how many in total?
You know, I'll be honest, I don't know the number, because each of the cities, we don't just have three. We have usually six or seven, because it's kind of... physically strenuous, and we want to keep people, you know, feeling good when they're out there on the stage. So you've got six or seven each city, and then some of the original guys are kind of quality control and training of new people. And so we almost have like a blue man college that people are going through. It's kind of neat because we've got a little bit of a blue community now.
What would I have to learn if I wanted to be a blue man?
Well, I think you probably have some of the skills. You want to have a little comedic timing, and you've got to have the ability to catch stuff in your mouth.
Yes, that is a big part of the show, isn't it?
It's the one thing we actually, you know, one of the things, you know, people ask us, why did you guys get blue in the first place? I said, well, if we'd had a lot of talent, we probably wouldn't have had to go through all this trouble. if I knew how to play an instrument really well, or if I had a skill or something, and the world, you know, would give me a salary for, I probably wouldn't have done this. But the one thing we could sort of do is catch stuff in our mouths. We're like, well, we might as well incorporate the one talent we've got, you know, into the show.
That's kind of the way I got into radio. This is about all I can do.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. I've left it all on the court, man.
Yeah. Well, my problem, I could never be a blue man because they don't talk.
Well, that's an interesting thing. I mean, you know, we didn't plan it that way at the beginning. We weren't certainly interested in being mimes or clowns because, you know, as we all know, mimes and clowns suck. But what we were interested in is just interesting ways of expressing ourselves. We actually found it became interesting when we shut up because it forced us to express ourselves through paint on drums or the tubes or through these sort of subtle looks between the three guys. And so it was an interesting way that evolved, you know. It could have gone another way, and it might have been a very different show.
In addition to probably being the number one consumers of cobalt blue paint in this country, I'm guessing that the Blue Man Group organization buys more PVC than anybody else in the world.
That's right. Well, I mean, it is just plumbing pipes, so actually, if you look around, there's a lot of it around. But we're the ones using it for musical ends, and I think we're also... right up there in Jell-O and marshmallow consumption.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jell-O companies are happy about us, and we keep them in business.
Chris, did the chicks dig the blue men?
Well, the chicks dig the blue men. You know, I tell you something about the blue men. He's a method actor, right? So the usual icebreaker people have is he blue everywhere, and, you know, there's a mystique about the answer to that. I can't really answer it. All I can say is that they take it all the way.
Uh-huh. But I'm guessing after the show, the blue men are in the lobby selling the blue man merchandise, and I'm guessing there are women who are very interested in the blue man.
Well, let me tell you a story. I actually met my wife through being a blue man, and she was one of the people that wanted to participate in the show, and then afterwards, you know, I talked to her in the lobby, and actually all three of us original ones are married now. We've been married for quite some time.
You're married to a blue man groupie.
Well, you could say that, but the difference between blue men and rock stars is rock stars sort of hook up. They use their stardom to hook up, and blue men use it to get married.
I see.
So we have like funny family values, you know, that's the only difference.
There you go. Well, it is a very family-friendly show, both the show that's performing around the country and the one that's going to come here, which is called How to Be a Megastar Tour 2.0. The Blue Man Group will be at the Scott Trade Center on October 21st. Tickets are available at all Ticketmaster locations and online at Ticketmaster.com. Chris Wink, one of the original Blue Men, thanks for coming on today.
Paul, thanks so much.
My pleasure.